Praise the Lord. Turn with me, Luke chapter 4 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse number 16. Here in the beginning of Luke, Jesus is beginning to start his earthly ministry. But before he actually launched into calling of his disciples and ministering to the multitudes and feeding the thousands and healing the sick and raising the dead, and before all those great things that God did in Jesus Christ as a man here on earth, he fasted and he prayed. Amen. 40 days, it said, he went and he didn't eat anything. Whew, that's a fast. That's a fast. Amen. Now, Sister Greeley had already mentioned it. Our local assembly is advocating a time of prayer, a time of fasting, a time of renewing our focus on God. Amen. Fasting certainly is doing without some sort of food. Sometimes, in this case, Jesus went with no food at all. Certainly that's fasting. Others fast in other ways. And we are not dictating to people in our church how that you are to fast. But we are asking our church members, and I'm saying not so much to our guests, but particularly, if you call Apostolic Lighthouse your church home, and if I am your pastor, then I'm asking you to find a way in the first few weeks of January, in this month, find a way to fast and to pray and seek God's will for your life. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. A bunch of folks are. Thank you for that. Luke chapter 4, verse number 16 is where I'm going to begin. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, went to his hometown. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I've got more to read, but let's pause right there. Would you pray with me? Jesus came for a particular purpose, and God fulfilled his plan. Let's ask that God's will be done here today. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask in the name of Jesus, just as, Lord, you came and you did what you were called to do, what you were appointed for, you accomplished it, Lord. Lord, I pray that even today, that what this service is for, Lord, your plan for this people, Lord, I pray your hand would be upon us. Open our understanding. Lord, help us to receive what is in your word, and help us, Lord, even today, Lord, to find your will in our lives. Lord, we pray right now, believing together as a people in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Jesus fasted and prayed, and then he began ministry. I'm expecting that as people fast and pray and seek God's face, God is going to open to us His will for this people. Amen. God, I'm waiting to hear the special, good, and gracious, and merciful, and wonderful things that God is going to do in our church. Amen. For His people. Praise the Lord. God's going to do wonderful things. He always does. God is always good. Amen. Whether if we recognize it or not, God is good. Praise the Lord. He was led into the wilderness, fasted, prayed. He was tempted. The devil tried to get him to worship the devil. Of course, he would not, did not. And then after that time, he began his ministry. He read in this from the Old Testament scripture, stood up, read the from Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Amen. In verse number 20, he continued, right after he said it was the acceptable year of the Lord, he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. I'm in verse number 20. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. Everybody was looking at Jesus. And he began to say to them, he replied, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Amen. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan. Amen. The Old Testament prophet was speaking of Jesus. In verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Esaias the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." They weren't happy with Jesus telling them how it is. "They rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." They were going to throw him over a cliff. Throw him down the hill. They were mad. "But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." Wow. He just walked through the crowd and he went on his way. You see, when Jesus started his earthly ministry, he quickly became very well known. People were hearing all around about the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. They were hearing in town after town, city after city. They were quickly, it wasn't just rumors, it was fact. They were telling stories about the wonderful works of God, how there was healings and miracles and signs and wonders being done at the hand of Jesus Christ. And many were touched by him. Many were healed by him. And many believed on him. Now picture in your mind for a moment, if you will, a middle-aged man sitting by the roadside, blind from his birth. Normally, he'd sit there waiting for some benevolent person to put a coin or a token or something in his cup that might help him. But this day was different. You see, he was waiting. He had heard the crowd speaking, and he was waiting for Jesus to pass that way. High anticipation. Jesus is coming. I tell you, we should have an anticipation for what Jesus is going to do, for what Jesus has promised in his word. You see, this story is typical of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Everywhere that Jesus went, every person that he met, everyone was changed by the power of God. In every instance, he was still God. He was still doing wonderful acts. And he never left anyone or anything the way that he found them. Jesus changes everything. My life is different because of Jesus Christ. Amen. My family, my heritage, my home, my wife, my children, my grandchildren are different because of Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus showed up, wherever he was, something great followed. Something good was going to take place. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse number 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. He was on his way, but he got mobbed by the mob. Distracted. Now, God is still in control. Even when it looks like the world has overcome us, God is still in control. Jumping down, verse 49, moving down a few verses. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, thy daughter is dead. Bad news arrived. Trouble not the master. Don't even bother anymore. Too late. I tell you, it's never too late in Jesus Christ. Amen. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save or except Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. So there's this handful of people in the house. And all wept and bewailed her and said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. People were shocked. It says in the next verse, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all out. You all wait out there. Go outside. And he took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Can you imagine? My 12-year-old daughter is sick and dying. I'm desperate for Jesus. I get the bad news that she died. And then Jesus changes everything. Oh, but don't tell anybody. I don't know if I could keep that one in. I don't know if I could hold that one a secret. God did it for Jairus. Amen. How about blind Bartimaeus? Mark chapter 10. Beginning at verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and when he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timotheus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Shh, you're disrupting the master. Shh, you're too loud. What do you want? I can just imagine. I've got a vivid imagination. I can imagine people trying to get this guy to be quiet. He's not interested in being quiet. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Come on now. Do you think that Jesus didn't know that blind Bartimaeus couldn't see? No, I tell you, the whole crowd, the neighbors knew. Everybody knew. All of the people there knew what blind Bartimaeus needed. Nevertheless, it was necessary that he ask for what he needed. Amen. Maybe your family knows, maybe you know, maybe someone you know knows what you need. Maybe even other people recognize that there's a problem. But it's still necessary that you ask. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt that thou or that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. He believed in God. He asked for what he needed. He believed in faith. He received the word. God met his need. He was healed in his eyes. He could see. Blind Bartimaeus has got to get a new handle now. Seeing Bartimaeus. Amen. He wasn't blind anymore. And he followed Jesus in the way. You know what? When God does something miraculous and wonderful and glorious and powerful in your life, follow Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't know if I, in fact, I know I could not tell you the number of people that I have seen receive a miracle from God, and then they go their own way. They don't come back. What a sad story it is. If God gives you a miracle, and you walk out on God. Amen. Amen. God is never going to walk out on you. Amen. God wants to draw you unto Himself. God wants to keep you in His arms. God wants you to be saved. Amen. How about the 10 leopards by the roadside? Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse number 11. I'm just citing a few of the places where God, Jesus, did these wonderful, powerful, glorious acts in Scripture. Luke 17, beginning at verse number 11. And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Master, or Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You see, to prove you were cleansed, you had to be inspected by the priest, who then could declare you clean and you could return home into society. Amen. So they were following the instructions, and as they did, they were healed. And one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, if God gave you a miraculous healing, if God healed your body, if God took the leprosy off of your hand and it went away, if God healed leprosy in your nose or your ears or on your face, and God put your lips back on, do you think you'd be happy about it? Oh, well, thanks a lot. And go off and walk your way. One of them saw that he was healed and went back to say thank you. Verse 17, and Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Brother Cunningham came in a dedication service for this very building. And he was stressing he'd seen people with leprosy. And leprosy will, like, eat your nose off, or eat your ear, the extremities, your fingers, your toes, your nose, your ears. The outward parts of your body is affected first by the disease. And then it slowly corrodes, or that portion of your body dies, and it spreads, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And those that are healed, it stops spreading. And you live. At that day, there was no cure for leprosy, and most people died from it, unless there was an intervention by God. All 10 of those people were healed. The leprosy stopped growing, and healing came to their bodies. But this one that came back to say thank you was made whole. Someone say whole. Whole means the nose was put back on his face. The lips were put back on his face. The ears were put back on his head. That which was affected was restored as it should be. Amen. I tell you what, God does more than any doctor. Amen. In this case, the healing made the man whole. I don't know what this world has done to you. I don't know what bodily problems some people have, and many people have something wrong. But I tell you, there is a God that will and is able to make you whole. Amen. How about the story of spitting in the dirt, rubbing the mud on the blind man's eyes? John chapter 9, it's verse 1 to verse 41. It's a big, long story. But I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but it was a miraculous event. He used an impractical, unknown process. Why would you spit in the dirt, make mud and clay, and put the dirt on his eyes and say, go wash, and then a miracle happens? You know what? You don't have to understand. We just need to obey. What do you mean? What does it make any difference if I go to church on Sunday morning, if I raise my hands and pray, if I come to an altar, or if I repent of my sins, or if I'm baptized in Jesus' name? What does it matter if I speak with other tongues? I tell you what, God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. Just let God do what God does, and God will change your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. The lame man, Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse number 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. He couldn't even walk in his own. He couldn't get out of the bed. His buddies had to bring him in a makeshift carry-on bed. And they came, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. That's amazing to me. Let's go up on somebody else's house and tear the roof off. I don't understand it, but it is what the Bible says. They tore a roof in the house and let the man down in its bed right where Jesus was. Do you think that was distracting? I think he got noticed. Amen. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? You know what? They were right. It was God, Jesus the Christ, forgiving those sins. Amen. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I've never seen it like this before. I've known people that say, oh, I'd like to see a miracle. I've never seen a real miracle. Well, then you haven't been around very long. God still does miracles. Amen. There's just a curiosity. How many people in this church have seen or had a miracle? Look at that. There's like 3/4 of the people. God is a miracle working God. Amen. The centurion. He had command of soldiers. He was touched by God. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse number 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, the whole country. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Amen. I'm telling you, God can make the difference right now. Amen. He's a right now kind of God. God can do it today. He can do it right away. There's nothing that can hinder Jesus the Christ. Story after story, time after time, place after place, city after city, again and again and again. Multitudes, crowds of people flocked to where Jesus was. He healed all, someone say all, all their diseases. It don't matter what the disease is. God is a healer of diseases. He delivered those that were bound, set free them that were possessed. It don't matter what kind of problem you have. My God, Jesus Christ is the problem solver. Amen. He is the great God. Amen. Throughout Jerusalem, even Judea, it was just simply understood in his day, wherever Jesus is, go there. Crowds showed up where Jesus was headed. If he's coming this way, wait on him to arrive. Amen. The key to receiving a miracle was to maneuver yourself into the presence of God. I'm telling you, it's the same way today. If you want a miracle from God, if you want God to do something special in your life, maneuver yourself, put other things aside, so that you can be where God is going to do a miracle. Amen. It's the same principle. It was then, it is now. Same. All power in heaven and on earth is in his hand. It's at His word. It's in His command. Nothing is impossible for Him. Nothing. No problem too big. No thing too hard. Sickness and disease are subject to Him. He is the healer of all diseases. Jesus is right here today. Right now is the acceptable time of the Lord, the acceptable year of the Lord. It's still fresh in this new year. And I hope this year you will seek out what God has for your life. Amen. That you will find God in His glory. Amen. I'm telling you, devils flee in the name of Jesus. Amen. They can't even stay when we call upon Jesus. Now, knowing that about Him, about Jesus, you got to get in His presence. You got to find a way to get there. You got to put other things out of the way. You got to make yourself, maneuver yourself, get yourself where God is going to do a miracle. Knowing that, why wouldn't a person in need situate himself or herself into the place where they are most likely to meet Jesus? You think, well, there's lots of places you're not going to meet Jesus. Amen. But there is a place where you are certainly able to find Jesus. Amen. Now, here's a question. It's an honest question for each of us. Don't raise your hand. I'm not asking you to do anything right now. But here's the question. What do you believe? Pausing for a purpose. Do you believe that if Jesus would appear in a bodily form in this house today, in this church, during this service, if the front doors were to open up, He came through the foyer and entered those wooden doors and walked down this center aisle, if Jesus was here in the flesh, would you receive a miracle? If He would appear right now, if you could see Him, if you could touch Him, would you leave any differently than you came? Would it affect your life? If He would appear right here, right now, in this service, in this church building, today. It's a question for each of us. What would you ask Him to do? All restrictions taken off. If you could ask God for anything, if you could ask Jesus the Christ, if you could ask God for anything, what would you ask God for? There's people that need to be healed of cancer. I tell you by truth that God is a cancer healing God. Woo! Hallelujah! I tell you, God heals diabetes. God heals high blood pressure. God heals emotional hurts. God heals bodies. God heals minds. God can heal your heart. In the flesh and in the spirit. What would you ask God for? Don't worry, God healed her of cancer. It's a little personal, you know. When God does a miracle in your life, it's a little personal. People are affected a little specially and powerfully when God does a miracle in your life. What would you ask God for? There's people that need a financial miracle. I tell you, my God owns the cattle on not just 1,000, but all the hills. Amen. God can give you a financial miracle. God can heal the problem in your home. God heals marriages. Amen. What situation in your life would you ask God for? If He was standing right here. If He was here right now, right today. If He walked down this aisle and stopped right here. What would you ask Him for? Would you order your cause before Him? Would you plead your case before God? Would you ask God for a miracle today? I have very good news for you. He is here right now. He is here today. The presence of God, of Jesus the Christ, is here today. I've felt Him. I've praised Him. I've worshipped Him. He's inhabited the praises of His people. My God is here right now. Matthew 18, verse 19, He promised. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Did anybody else beside me come to worship Jesus today? There's more than two or three gathered together in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, Jesus is here right now. From the time that we've entered in, from the start of the service, the worship, the praise, the magnifying of the Lord, He inhabits the praises of His people. Jesus is here right now. He said in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's giving us a direction here. It's telling us what to do. Submit to God, resist the devil. Verse 8, draw nigh to God. Don't ignore Him. Don't pretend that He's not here. He is here. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Some might say, if I could only see Him, if I could only touch Him. You see, not all of the disciples believed the report of Mary Magdalene, who said that Jesus was raised from the dead. They came from the grave and Jesus wasn't in the tomb anymore. They saw him alive after he was dead. Now Jesus appeared to his disciples. Let me read a verse of scripture first. John chapter 20, verse number 25, is Thomas that did not believe. The other disciples therefore said unto him, John 20, 25, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. There are those among us that have a hard head. We have difficult thinking to get over. You know what? God even deals with hard-headed Thomases. I know. Praise the Lord. He singled out Thomas, invited him to touch the nail prints. Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thine hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. You got to come to the conclusion of who Jesus is. You got to understand just who God is. His name is Jesus the Christ. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Praise the Lord. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, it's at verse number 1, goes down to verse 15. I'm not reading the whole story, I'm trying to hurry. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. Just because you can't see it, doesn't mean it's not real. Anybody been through a hurricane? I'm telling you, that wind is real. You couldn't see the wind, but you can sure see the effects of it. You know, I can't see the physical form of Jesus right here before me, other than I see the effects. I see that there are people that had serious problems. Raise my hand. I was one of them. Serious problems. And God changed my life. I can see the effect. I can see what God has done in my life, how He has brought me out and made me fresh and cleaned me up and protects me and helps me and guides me. I can see the effects of God in my life. Amen. And it's not just me. It's every single person that chooses to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Without a doubt, He is in this house. I can feel Him right now. I can see the effects of His presence. Musicians, would you come? Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. I'm closing with this portion of Scripture. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You know, there's people right here, right now, even in today's church, even in our own congregation, that yes, they believe there is a God and that His name is Jesus the Christ. But when things are personally a problem in your life, God, help me believe. Anybody need help to believe in Jesus Christ? You need God to help in your problem. Would you stand with me right now? I would tell you today that don't wait for what someone else might say. Don't wait for someone else to fix it. Don't wait for what other people are going to do. Don't wait to see what's going to happen. You can get up and out of your seat and you can go to heaven right now. I'm telling you, Jesus is available today, right here in this place. I'm asking you, would you join me? Come on to this altar and lift your hands and lift your voice and magnify God and set your voice with Him. Set your praise unto Jesus. Make your petition known unto Him. You can bring anything to Him. My God is a healer of all diseases. Every problem is in His power, at His control. He can lead you in every facet of your life. Touch Him right now.